Now today, friends, we begin in the 12th chapter, and I'd like, as usual, to tie it back into the last study that we had. You'll recall that we said that when the law, the book of the law, was found in the temple, and it was read to the people, that it had such a profound effect on this man, Josiah. He called the people in and had them make a covenant that they would keep that law. And that law, by the way, is found beginning in the 21st chapter of Exodus and the 22nd and the 23rd chapter, and actually all the way through to the giving of the instructions for building the tabernacle in chapter 25. And what we have here is a man's relationship to his neighbor, his relationship to the person of others and also the property of others, and how he should conduct himself as God's man. And they took an oath that they would keep it. But the thing that happened was that this revival was largely a surface revival, but it's no question but what the words of Jeremiah had its effect, and there were many that had in genuine sincerity turned to the Lord. And we again would lift out verse 6 of chapter 11. Then the Lord said unto me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant and do them. Now, what happened was the people promised, of course, that they would do this. But the fact of the matter is that it wasn't long that deterioration set in. After the revival, why, things began to wear off, that is, the spiritual, and the people began to return to their old ways. And even Josiah made a very grave blunder. He went out against the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, Necho, and they fought at Megiddo, and at the Battle of Megiddo, why, Josiah was fatally wounded, and he died. And Jeremiah, we're told, mourned at this. Over in 2 Chronicles, the 35th chapter, at verse 25, I read just this. And Jeremiah lamented for Josiah. This man, Jeremiah, and Josiah, obviously, both young men. And this man, Josiah, died as a young man. Jeremiah wept bitterly because he knew what was going to happen, that the people would not only return back to idolatry, but they would sink farther down in immorality, which, of course, they did. And he gives them a message that, of course, they didn't want to hear. But now, we saw last time here in the last part of chapter 11, he had to leave his hometown of Anathoth. Josiah would have protected him had he been alive, but now Josiah's gone. And what has happened, Jehoahaz comes to the throne. He actually was an uncle. His mother's name was Hamutal, and he only reigned for 3 months. But that period, he's given over to total iniquity and evil doing. And then after him, why, Jehoiakim, and Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, was made king of Judah by Pharaoh Necho, the king of Egypt. And in return for this appointment, Jehoiakim, he taxed the land and he paid tribute to Egypt. And it wouldn't be long until Nebuchadnezzar would defeat the Egyptian king, and Jehoiakim then became the vassal of Babylon for 3 years, after which he rebelled against the king, and that was against the warning of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah also warned against an alliance with Egypt as a false confidence. And the very sad thing was that Jehoiakim would, of course, pay no attention to him, and he became even more corrupt than any before him, so that we're entering now into a very evil period in the life of the nation, and the only light now left is this man Jeremiah. And added to that, after Jeremiah was forced to leave his hometown, and this young king Josiah is slain, and these evil men come to the throne, and conditions get worse, he has what I believe every honest Christian has, doubts come into his mind and in his heart. There'll be those dark thoughts that are going to come to you, and you're going to wonder about why God permits certain things. I have a notion that every preacher who stood for the things of God wonders at times why God does not move. There are those moments of doubt, and every pastor, he looks around and sees how his people are suffering, and it's his best people. It's the more spiritual folk. They seem to be having more trouble. I was riding with a lawyer and his wife up in Oakland, California the other day, and she brought out that. And she, by the way, has a radio program for children that goes out over this country today. And she raised the question. She says, it just seems in our church that it's the godly people that are having the trouble today. Why does God permit that? That's a question that comes to every one of God's children, I think. David, you remember, raised that question. He saw the wicked spreading themselves like a green bay tree. Listen to this man, Jeremiah, now. Chapter 12, verse 1. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they've taken root, they grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins, that is, from their house. Oh, they talk about you, Lord, but they're far from you, and they prosper. Why do you permit that? That was his question. By the way, you want to know something? That's my question. I'd like to ask God that today. Lord, why do you permit it? And I don't have the answer. I don't think that Jeremiah got the answer either. I don't think David ever got the answer. Oh, he got an answer, but that question wasn't answered. God permits the wicked. They prosper. They're the rich today. And you see them prospering. And they are spreading themselves right now like a green bay tree. Why does God permit that? And another friend of mine, he and I are both in radio, and we were talking about, why doesn't God make some of the Christians wealthy who really want to support our radio program and help us to expand? Why doesn't God do that? That's a question. I've asked him that. And I have to say I don't have the answer. I'll read, though, what Jeremiah says here. Verse 2, thou hast planted them. They've taken root. Now listen, verse 3, but thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. Jeremiah says, why don't you judge them? They're the ones to be judged. How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither? For the wickedness of them that dwell therein, the beasts are consumed, the birds, because they said he shall not see our last end. And now, this is his question. Lord, why do you permit it? And the answer that he gets is this answer, and it's the answer that I accept today, and you may not accept it, but this is the best we have. God says, I know what I'm doing. You trust me. You rest in me. And as he began this passage, righteous art thou, O Lord. My friend, whatever God's doing today, and some of the things just look very peculiar to me, it's right. And he's going to be able to show you that someday. And that's where faith comes in. We walk by faith and not by sight. And now God says this to Jeremiah. He almost rebukes this young man now. And you can see the position of the young man. Josiah was his friend, the king. And Josiah's heart was moved. And these two young men, I think, were used of God to bring in a great revival. I've often wondered if God won't raise up a young man in this country who won't listen to anyone down here. He won't try to curry the favor of Washington or of the educational institutions or of even the so-called Christian public. He's just going to stand up and preach the word of God and going to demand righteousness. And do you know, I think that God could do that in our day, and if he did, that would save this country. And that's the only thing that's going to save this country, will be that sort of thing. Well, now, Jeremiah, he's left alone, and things are getting worse. Jehoahaz, now Jehoiakim is on the throne. They're corrupt rulers. Things are getting worse. What's going to happen? This is the thing that he had even said back in chapter 11, verse 16. The Lord called thy name a green olive tree, fair and of goodly fruit. And Paul, you remember, quotes that over in Romans. Paul says that the good olive tree, it's been cut off and set aside. And that's exactly what God did to these people. And now today, God is out of that root. He's bringing forth a wild olive tree. That's you and that is I. We are the church today that's grafted into the root, and that root is Christ. He's the root out of a dry ground, and he brings life. And that's the thing. And God goes on to say here, I'll take care of this. I'll be the one that will deal with this. And the question of this man is, how long shall a land mourn? Lord, why don't you move? Now, this is interesting what God says to him. Verse 5, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? The whole thing is just simply this. He says, Jeremiah, if you are troubled now by what things are going to happen, and you'll forgive me, I'm not trying to be irreverent, but God is saying actually this to him. He says, you ain't seen nothing yet, Jeremiah. It's going to get lots worse. Now, if this has troubled you, what are you going to do when it really gets bad? And I think, friends, it's really going to get bad today, and we may not have the answer. But I hope it'll draw you close to God, because he does have the answer, and that's the important thing. Now, God says here, very candidly, verse 9, mine heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. The birds round about are against her. Come ye assemble all the beasts of the field, come to devour. Now, he says here, Jeremiah, you're a speckled bird. You see, every crow thinks her, you know, little offspring is blacker than any other crow. But here an egg hatches out in speckled. Well, that sort of tells you something, doesn't it? And that's the way this boy Jeremiah was. They said, we thought you were for us, one of us, and you're not. You're speckled. And that's what I am. I'm a speckled bird, too. I have a notion some of you folks are speckled birds. You're standing for God. You're a speckled bird today. And that's what God is saying to Jeremiah. Don't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. He says, you just well make up your mind, Jeremiah. You're a speckled bird if you stand with me. Now, he goes on to say, though, that there is a day coming, verse 15, it shall come to pass, after that I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them, and I will bring them again, every man to his heritage and every man to his land. Why is it that the rich are prospering? God says, Jeremiah, I'll take care of that. What's going to happen? They're going into captivity. But I have remembered the land, and I'm going to bring them back into the land. What a message this was.